I'm speaking today with Brenda Stardig, who is a candidate for City Council District A. Brenda, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
Well, thank you, first of all, for coming out, and I really appreciate your interest in District A. I believe, as a native of the district, that I bring a lot to the table and a lot of experience, and with that, I am focused on a lot of the issues that we've been working on for a number of years. And we've accomplished so much in District A that I would like to continue with that process and continue with the great things we've implemented thus far.
Okay. I saw that you were on a City of Houston task force related to apartment complex crime in District A. Tell me a little bit about that.
I've been involved for a number of years with the Houston Police Department as a volunteer and coordinating and working on projects for bike patrol and hotspot units and supporting those efforts and raising funds for bikes and for our storefront officers. And with that, going out into the apartments, we recognized that District A went through a transition during the last set of hard times we had in Houston, and we were part of the boom in the 70s, so we had a lot of growth and a lot of apartments built. And then when things went a little south, we ended up with a lot of a large surplus of apartments. And because of that, it gave opportunity for some of those people that you would rather not be in your neighborhood come in and take over some of the apartments and then run them down and use them for other criminal activity. So with that, our community had always been working on the issue, but we decided to really to go out and identify what the real issues were. And our council member at the time allowed Victor Alvarez and myself to co-chair a task force and go out and ask some hard questions and help to see what we could do to help the residents in the apartments as well as the neighborhoods around there. And in doing that, we identified a number of issues which led to some of the ordinances you see today.
Okay. I mean, I would say we're probably in a fairly similar position now, right, after a fairly long period of growth. Obviously, we're in some tough economic times. What are the issues now? And how do they compare with before? Are we in the same shape as we were before? Or are we in a better position? What needs to be done now to prevent a repeat of that cycle?
I think that the community is more educated on the issues and are less likely, at least in District A, to just allow just any investor to come into our community and take government money to continue. We're overburdened with the number of apartment units. And because of that, the problem apartments is where the issues are. There's a density issue, and it's overcrowding and overburdening our city services. And, yes, we are in the same boat, but we are better off because we're educated on the facts and we've drawn the line in the sand. Well, the good thing is the Houston Apartment Association has been very supportive to the communities in our area and have stepped up and recognized that there are problem apartments out there and they're working with the community. When we went out as a task force, we identified by interviewing managers of the apartments and residents that even on New Year's Eve, the apartment managers were not comfortable staying on their own property. The gunfire at night on New Year's, the celebratory gunfire, They told us that they were too afraid to stay on their own property. Well, that concerned me because the children on the property that were left there, if they were scared to be there, then what was happening to those children that were on those properties? So with that, that's what led to my next cause was to work with Crime Stoppers and the Houston Police Department on the anti-celebratory gunfire campaign. And we worked really hard on that and have for 6 years had an annual press conference educating the public on anti-celebratory gunfire rewards offered by Crime Stoppers. So we feel that we've educated the public and deterred a lot of the gunfire on New Year's and other holidays.
Okay. You mentioned in there that part of the problem has been overbuilding of apartments, too much density of apartments. I mean, that's certainly something that's within the city's purview to control. What, if anything, should council be doing to try and prevent perhaps overbuilding of apartments in certain parts of town?
I don't know if we say prevent it, but I think that maybe if we were to work a little harder on attracting the type of development that would be much more productive. I think that there's an opportunity for single-family home ownership. I think there's other solutions that we need to investigate further. There's incentives for those people that can't afford living in town. It's become where there's a middle-class gap. It's very expensive. It was inside the 610 loop. Now it's inside the Beltway, where the price point has become almost out of reach for a lot of people. So really, what really, really want to work on that. And I think when you have homeownership, you'll find that people are more vested in their community, the policy making, and take pride in their schools and everything around them. And so that just sort of builds on itself.
Okay. Council is going to be considering some changes to Chapter 42 of the code that regulates development, and in particular in this case it's geared towards sidewalks and transit-oriented development. What's your take on what they are currently considering?
I think that there's a lot of opportunities for growth, and we have to be very responsible in how we go forward. I think that neighborhoods should decide what goes in their neighborhoods with their deed restrictions. I think in the commercial areas, we need to attract good, strong commercial development. I've worked on a number of projects within our own community over the years on parks and bike trails and sort of a master plan on getting those trails to what we would anticipate to be future transit corridors, so that people would have an ease to movement to the workforce. So there's a number of things we've worked on, and as far as Chapter 42, I think definitely needs to be reviewed further by the citizens, and that they need to make some better decisions on what's good for them.
Okay. You also touched on issues of crime. Obviously, it's an issue with apartments, but it's always an issue everywhere in the city. What, if anything, should City Council be doing now to help HPD deal with crime and the perception of crime as being a problem in the city?
As far as crime is concerned, I think we need to educate the public on what they can do to make a difference in their own community. We continue to depend on a police department or law enforcement to do everything for us. And the fact of the matter is, there's a great deal that we can do as citizens and as a community. We need to make sure that we're investing in bringing our communities together to communicate, our citizens on patrol, and then with that, reporting to the police department. There's so much more that we can do as citizens. We continue to look to the city to do everything, and there's just not enough funds. And we don't want to increase taxes. However, we want to, expect more services. I do believe that the Houston Police Department, there are things that I would prefer to be implemented, and some of that would be in the rotation of captains. I think that the captains come on the job for 2 years and then they're rotated out. Well, that's about the time that you just be getting up to speed on any position or any job and mastering it. I think we need to have our captains in place. They're very critical to the success of our areas and our communities, and they need to master their job before they move on to the next job assignment. So to be fair to the captains and to be fair to the community, I think that we need to review that opportunity as well.
Okay. Council just recently passed its budget. Obviously, economic times were a little hard. There were cuts kind of across the board. What's your opinion of the budget that council just passed? And, going forward, assuming that, tough times are going to continue for at least a little while longer, how should the city be dealing with the downtimes from a budget perspective?
Well, I think we have to tighten up our belts. We can't expect others to do so and the city not. It's just like most everyone out in the workforce, they're having to double up on their job duties. They're having to work harder for the same pay. It's hard times, and I think Houstonians are up for it. I'm here to do the job, and I'm here to work just as hard, if not harder. And with my experience in the corporate environment, I have had to make these hard decisions of dealing with downsizing and unfortunately making some really hard decisions in staffing. And I think we need to continue to reevaluate and identify the job descriptions and do some needs assessment. And if there's any opportunities where we've got, duplication of effort, I think systems need to be put in place that we can be more efficient. There's always opportunities because times change and things change and job descriptions change. So we just need to continue to reevaluate and look at the jobs of the city.
Okay. As you know, Metro has broken ground on two more of its rail lines that were approved in the 2003 referendum. There's still a couple more not yet started. All this is supposed to be done 2012, probably more likely 2013, I'd guess. If you're elected, you would be serving through 2015 under current term limits laws. Looking forward that far, where do you want to see Metro go after completing the task that it's got right now? Where do you want to see Metro go from here?
As far as the rail, or
speak as generally as you'd like.
Well, I think there's a lot of opportunities for rail, more rail and connectivity, but I also think that we need to supplement what we're putting in place. There's a lot of opportunities for rail and connectivity throughout the district and throughout the city of Houston, but once again, there's a lot of things that we need to do as a whole for the entire city to review so that we implement things more efficiently and more cost-effectively. And one of the issues I have right now is there's a piece of land, and I'd like to find out more about, is the 210 was shut down, the park and ride on Beltway 8. It's just sitting there. And I think there's some needs here in District A, and I'd like to reevaluate some of that.
Okay. City has recently passed a new ordinance regulating signage on businesses. And you're in the real estate business. What's your take on that?
Well, I think there's an opportunity here to make things look a little nicer in the commercial corridors. But the bad thing is there's so much that needs to be enforced now. The Gessner area, the Long Point area, there's so many things that have been unenforced that have been allowed to go for so long that I would like to see something done about that. But with the new ordinance, I think it's an opportunity to draw the line in the sand and go forward and create an even playing field for everyone and make things look a little nicer in the area. I think the master plan communities around us and out further are a great example of what the areas could look like. And there's a lot of people drawn to those areas for that reason.
Okay. We're going to be electing a new mayor this November as well. What sorts of things that Mayor White has done would you like to see the new mayor do? And what sorts of things has Mayor White done would you not like to see the new mayor do?
Mayor White has done a fantastic job of treating the city like a business, and I think that's one of the things that I would like to bring to the table. As a business owner and native Houstonian, I think it's really important that we treat the city as a business and run it efficiently and continue to do so as he has done. So many things were neglected in the prior administrations that he's had to double up and make up for, and so this mayor had to make some hard decisions. I think the next mayor is going to have a big challenge on their hands, and I look forward to supporting them and helping them make those decisions that are the best for the city of Houston and for District A. Also, some of the things I'd like to recognize the mayor for is his contributions to the green space and the things that he's gone out and helped you know, the gifts of trees from his personal gifts of trees and things like that. I think that's very important that the community feels that the mayor of this city cares about them and their community personally. He's come out and visited many of the events that I've participated in, I've coordinated, and I appreciate his support of those events.
Okay. Do you have a preferred candidate for mayor in this election?
I would rather not take a position on that because I think it's fair. It's only fair to District A. I'd like to get the position and support whatever candidate the citizens vote on. I think there's definitely some leaders in the race, and I know I have had conversations with each of them, and I know that I could work with any of those candidates.
Okay. When people go to vote in this election in November, why should they vote for you as opposed to any of the other candidates that are running?
Well, I appreciate that question because I think that's where I'm going to be ahead of the game when I get into office because I've already got a lot of experience under my belt. I've worked on nationwide projects for a large corporation. I've been a nationwide facilitator working on projects, and I have been working in my own community. I've been in public service my entire life. I started out, you know, going to nursing homes and visiting, you know, older people in our community right here on Long Point, and then volunteering at with many organizations. I think I have a broad perspective of an open mind to bring the stakeholders to the table, to listen to them, and bring both sides to the table to listen to what the issues are. But the one thing that I do have is, above the other opponents, is that I do have the experience and the trust factor of the community. So I think it's going to play a big part in what we do going forward in making sure that when you get into the office, you hit the ground running and not a one or two-year learning curve to master it.
Okay. Something I forgot to ask earlier, how would you evaluate the current office holder in District A, Toni Lawrence, and how would you be similar to her or different from her as council member?
I think Toni Lawrence was dealt a lot of challenges when she came into office. I think she's handled them accordingly. I think she's facilitated a lot of meetings with the community. I think she's built a lot of working relationships with a lot of people, and she's implemented a lot of good things for our community based on what the community has told her. And I think that's important in a council office, that you listen to your constituents.
Okay. Brenda Starnick, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.